All right. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we start? Today we have what happens with JSON keys that are not terms, supporting lists of lists, how we do list type coercion, and arrays of IRIs and ID. Anything else?
Let's see. I had...
Oh, that's right.
I think we there was some more stuff on issue 43. That we needed to hit again based upon my editing. And then issue 53 was another one that I think we need to try to discuss.
Okay, so let's see. Issue 43, did you say?
Yeah, that's one that we resolved last week. But this is where we came into problems really with compaction. And when you, you've got so many more semantics and many different ways to associate a term with an IRI, choosing the appropriate term when compacting becomes challenging and even potentially leads to a problem where you might take something with multiple values and have to split it into two different keys for different coercion rules. And I think that's really going way beyond the intent of what we wanted to do. So I had some a comment at the end of the end of that issue that sort of went into the detail as I saw it and suggested that perhaps we want to just say that JSON-LD defines a single mapping from a term or query to an IRI. And any more than that, the behavior is undefined.
Okay, so this is issue 43 that we're talking about right now. Right, okay. So let's go ahead and put that first up on the agenda.
Issue 53, just to hit on it briefly, issue 53 relates to normalization and the consequences of splitting normalization off into a different spec that is based upon RDF and how that relates back to JSON-LD.
Okay, but that has to do with the API spec, is that right? Not necessarily the...
it's the API, not the syntax spec. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's try and focus on the syntax spec first, because the API spec does need quite a bit of work. But it has no impact on the syntax spec, right? The issue 53.
No, I don't think it does.
Okay, all right. Nicholas, here. Well, you were on the queue.
Yeah, it was. Let me see. Yeah, that was about issue 43. Hopefully, I remember my thoughts when we address it. Yes.
So let's move into issue 43 quickly, and then go from there. Okay, any other updates or changes to the agenda before we move into issue 43? All right, Greg, the concern, if I understand it, is that compaction becomes far more difficult based on some of the decisions we made last week, and perhaps we should disallow the setting of ID in... term definitions.
It's not even that.
Okay.
It's really the consequences of having multiple mappings to a single IRI, where the coercion rules are different for those mappings. So it could be with two terms. It could be with a query and a term, or even what I thought was a bad idea was having an IRIs mapping to other IRIs. If you have different coercion rules, then that allows those you to use different terms for the same IRI within the JSON-LD object. When you expand that now, you need to merge those two together because you can't have two keys with two entries with the same key.
Mm-hmm.
So what became, say, two single-valued entries now becomes one double-valued entry. Now imagine that you've got a, say, a date and an integer, and you've created coercion rules for two different terms mapping to the same IRI, one of which makes it a type XSD date and the other XSD integer. When you compact, the first thing you're going to do is expand, put those things together, then you're going to compact, and is the appropriate thing now to pick one and have an expanded version of the second of those two values, or to split it into two things? It becomes much, much more complicated. And my thought in going through this was, this is really beyond what I think we intended to do with JSON-LD. And it's a consequence of our sort of allowing a lot of these things. So I think we need to readdress some of the issues in 43 to determine how to remove that complexity.
So specifically, okay, so just going back to kind of the context, the way that we process the context has changed based on these decisions we've made over the last couple of weeks, and it is more complicated, right? So before, the mapping was fairly simple. If I'm understanding you correctly, Greg, you're saying that the mapping was, before it was just like, or the internal mapping that the JSON-LD processor kept was just a mapping of IRIs to things like coercion rules and whether or not things should be listed, all those other things. Whereas now the mapping is really a mapping from prefixes terms and query type things to what the value could be on the right-hand side, right? And now we just do a string comparison, a direct string comparison in the context. Basically what we do is we first check to see if there's a direct query type value that matches the thing being expanded. And if there is, we use that. If there isn't, we look for, we split on the colon and look for the thing before the colon to see if there's a match. And I still don't, I mean, there's no ambiguity there, right? But it is more complicated. And I guess is the concern there is that it's more complicated, Greg, and not necessarily there's no ambiguity that's been introduced, right?
No, I think that we had an inconsistency in the past in that we, in the syntax document, we describe creating, terms with coercion rules, and there was nothing to prevent you from having two different terms that mapped the same RI with different coercion tools. The API document did specify, when you're processing the context, that what is mapped is the expanded IRI of the term definition to its coerced value, rather than the literal term or query represented, or even IRI, which is what we agreed to last week. So we agreed to something that was in conflict with the way that the spec was currently written, which is fine, but that exposed a problem that was even underlying, that had nothing to do with mapping queries or IRIs, and just the ability to have two terms mapping to the same IRI. The way it would have happened before, the way that the algorithm specified, would be arbitrary. You would, the first one, or the last one you encountered, would set the IRI as a key and the coerced value as a term, and that would have, it would only have been one. So there's no conflict when you come to picking the term for doing compression. But there was an ambiguity.
I don't think it was really that clear before, because objects don't have any order in JSON. So the last, just using the last one for it, is not unambiguous.
No, that's why I said it was ambiguous.
Yeah.
It was currently the way it was done. It is ambiguous.
So it. I mean, it, that issue didn't came up with the latest changes we did. It was there since the very beginning, right?
Yeah.
It was. But I think the consequences of that are create something that's much more complicated than we intended.
But, I mean, like from a syntactic level, there is no way that we could restrict that. It's just we could, like, kind of impose a rule in the specification that it's not allowed, but from a syntactic level...
The behavior's undefined, I think, is the way that to describe it.
Yeah, but what's the reason to do that? I mean, there would be no ambiguity in the way we resolve it now. It's just that the algorithms get...
The problem is that the algorithms become very complicated.
Okay.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm really lost. I just want to clarify two parts of it. Greg, if I understand you correctly, the problem here is not that there can be different terms for different coercion values, but the same IRI, right? Not in itself.
The problem comes when you apply that to the expansion and compaction algorithms.
In itself.
Yes, because now that means that where you had two keys before, you might only have one key after doing expansion. And when it goes to compacting, where you had one key with multiple values, you might need to break that into two keys with single values, and you've got the complexity of not simply looking for the mapping of that full IRI that's expressed in the expanded form, but choosing among all of the different values where based upon the types of the values. And furthermore, if you have some value that has a type that is not coerced, you have no way of choosing between the possible terms that map to that IRI.
But if you have a term which isn't coerced, then everything which isn't explicitly coerced should end up in that. You have no ambiguity.
So if you define two mappings, both of which have coercion rules,
yes,
you can still have values that are not
either of
not
them.
Subject to that coercion.
Either of those.
Yeah. So you don't know which of the terms to use when you're
none
we
of
have
them.
An ambiguity.
Yeah, but then you shouldn't use any of them.
The input document very well may have used one.
Right, but
so
you're
stuck with using a full IRI as
the thing is that I think that should be done if in those cases, because I'm willing to defend this complexity because it is complex when you have very diverse data, when your data isn't only partial, but actually you have different kinds of objects for the same property. And this is a very complex situation. It's a real-world situation in RDF, and it's dealable there because of the precision. When you want to express JSON, you regularly want to shield people from the details of the object values, and that is why we have coercion. But when these two different goals collide, there will be a complex situation regardless. But I think that's just the way the data looks like, and I think that it is defendable because I believe that the value gained by the ability to have different terms for the combination of a property and a specific data time data type is greater than not being able to handle potentially very varied object data. I mean, in practice, if you have that situation, your data is very complex, and this only reflects that. In any other case where the data isn't that complex, you won't have this situation. But I don't think that this in itself causes any ambiguity, because in the worst case scenario, as you yourself said, you won't find any term for the specific value type, because the only terms you find have coercion rules applied to them. Then you have to use the full IRI or generate a QRI for that matter if you have a prefix defined. But I don't see any ambiguity. I only see the actual complexity reflected by the actual complexity of the data.
So a light bulb just went off in my head, and I finally understood what Greg is getting at here. So I think, Greg, what you're saying is the issue here has to do one of the issues could be demonstrated with a round-tripping example, right? So let's say that you go from expanded form, or you go from compacted form to expanded form back to compacted form. You're using the same context to do it. And in that context, you have, foo1 and foo2, right? And so, you have foo1 and foo2. And foo1 and foo2 both have just one thing in them. They both map to the same IRI. Right, so I'm gonna have to type this out just to.
My comment has an example spelled out. I don't know if you looked at that in the issue. I'm gonna paste.
Yeah, I was gonna use something that's a little more insidious than that.
All right.
So the reason is because I believe there is an ambiguity here, right? The ambiguity is which term you end up using when you compact. I don't know if that's the same.
Well, I think Nicholas was saying that you would not pick a term unless the value had a data type that was the same as that used by the term.
Right, and that takes care of that issue. Right.
Yeah.
So that's no longer ambiguous, but we still have an ambiguity when you have two terms that point to the same IRI.
If you have two terms that point to the same IRI and the same type conversion, you have an ambiguity.
Yeah, basically if you have two terms that express the exact same thing, there's an ambiguity because you don't know which one to pick. Right.
So you will always have an ambiguity if you have two terms pointing to the same IRI.
I guess what I'm going to argue is you don't. So what we could do is we could pick the lexicographically smaller value always, right? And that would make sure that the compaction code always, and this is more complexity, Greg, but it would make sure that the compaction code is always very specific about which term should be picked. Right. So if you have something that points to the same value, and we do this in normalization quite a bit, you always pick the lexicographically smaller value. Now I agree, Greg, that this is getting very complicated. Like the compaction algorithm, it ends up becoming more complicated as a result of this. But I also agree with Nicholas.
As does the expansion.
Right. But I also agree with Nicholas that these are going to be wrapped up in API calls, right? And I think that the benefit of being able to do this, right? One of the reasons that we're doing this is to make sure that the JSON-LD data that's generated from RDF, it can be fairly clean, right? Pretty clean and nice. And I think that that's a good use case, right? I mean, we're trying to show people that you can take really complicated looking RDF data, and then the JSON-LD processor can convert that into a fairly simple JSON-LD representation of the data using queries and things like that. So while I do agree with you that we never intended it to get this complicated, the alternatives are to basically strip that functionality out of the spec or say that it's undefined. Stripping the functionality out, I don't think, is a good thing to do at this point because, I mean, we have a use case that I thought all agreed that we should solve. And then saying that it's undefined isn't good because that introduces ambiguity into the spec. And so we have a way of addressing the ambiguity. So I think we should do that, even if it makes the processing algorithm more complex. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah. I think also that this in itself, as we just seem to agree on, is complex but reflects a required use case. It seems also that the problem in general is aggravated by the current question of whether terms can be QRIs or full IRIs, and if they then can map to other IRIs, and it seems that is a separate issue, which I believe we should really discuss. Do you agree that we can discuss these separately?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, certainly. I'm certainly willing to just move on if this seems to be the strong sense of the group, and we should get some clarity on this, perhaps on the mailing list so that we can preserve the limited time we have available today to get through some other issues.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
So maybe we should turn this I'm wondering if we should turn this into a separate issue and clarify how conflicts are resolved in the context.
Yeah.
And then close this issue because I feel like we've addressed this issue, but we've discovered a new kind of side issue, and this side issue is what we're discussing right now. So maybe we need a new issue on that, and then we should discuss that during the API discussion because I think that this really has to do with the API, and it does have to do with the syntax, but, I think we should have a discussion about it soon because it does it does impact the syntax.
So do you have either a proposal or an action?
Oh.
Maybe just an action?
Yeah, action to create a. You think we should just create a new issue? Actually, you know what? Forget the action. I'm just going to create the issue right now.
Right.
Let's see. Detail how mapping IRI conflicts. Are resolved when compacting, expanding. Okay, so this is the issue is to detail how IRI conflicts are resolved when compacting and expanding. This is related to, and this is related to issue 43. And I'm just gonna, let's see.
And I think with some more spec changes, we can close 43. There's a little bit more in the syntax spec that's required. But
okay.
I think I left in there commented out.
Okay. And I'm going to copy and paste your text, Greg, into the new, your last comment into the bug. Okay. All right. And then, Greg, do you think that we have enough to close issue 43, or do you feel that you should
Yeah, well, I don't think we... Usually we don't close things until the specs have been updated.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay. But I think we have enough information to do that now.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. The next issue that you brought up was the normalization stuff. Do you mind if we postpone that to another day?
Fine.
Since it has... Okay. So the next up, next thing up on our agenda is issue 56. Let's see, yeah, that's right. So next topic is issue 56, and then the link to the issue is here. So this is a discussion about what we do, how we process JSON keys that are not terms. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I believe that this issue conflates a couple of quite different things.
I agree.
I think that on the one hand, it speaks about the thing which the issue title is about, that is, how do we handle undefined terms? And that is one separate thing. Then there is a sub-issue to that. If we say, well, we should allow them, but we should ignore them.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Then the sub-issue or question is, should we process the data, ignore the key, but keep on processing the data, or drop the entire subtree? Mm-hmm. That's another question. And then we have the problem of what seems to be the problem of multiple, well, disjoint graphs, if you will. That is when the value of the ID is a list. I think that this has been conflated in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a way to separate that?
Yeah, well, I think the separation is exactly what you outlined, right? So I think that this issue 68, is about ignoring the subtree, or at least we should make it about just ignoring the subtree, because I believe we have issues for how we represent disjoint graphs and how we handle IDs with lists of IRIs. Marcus, do you agree with that? Do we have other issues for this stuff?
54 and 68, I think.
I'm looking.
Yeah.
Yeah, so arrays of IRIs are not supported in Playground. It's 54. Which one was the other one, Nicholas?
68.
Multiple graphs for text.
I don't really see how this is related to issue 54, to be honest. So lists of IDs, it has nothing to do with terms that are not defined, in my opinion.
During the discussion, it made it seem like some people thought they were related. And they are kind of related. So the disjoint graphs and the lists of IRIs and IDs, actually, they do interact with one another. I can go into the reasoning later on, but lists of IRIs are a way of specifying a disjoint graph, and I feel that we're getting into dangerous territory there. The other thing, lists of IRIs for IDs in the very, very beginning of GSMLD, like two years ago, we were thinking of using that to be able to specify multiple subjects. So you could specify multiple subjects, and then you could specify values on those multiple subjects. Like you could list 80 documents in a list of IDs. And then you could create the same creation date for them with a simple DC created tag. But all of that stuff was taken out of the spec because it became really complicated. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm dropping the it's hard to describe right now because I'm flipping through the different issues as well. same thing. Subjects. let's see. The problem I had was that some of the feedback which is written in issue 56 from Ivan, is mentioning, for instance, data as an alternative to the ID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's certainly about multiple subjects, disjoint graphs.
Mm-hmm.
Is the best name, I think. Or multiple top-level resources.
Yep.
From a tree perspective.
Okay, sorry, Nicholas, I didn't mean to cut.
Yeah, I think that there might have been something else, which was a syntax problem, but I can't find it.
Okay.
No.
In any case, I believe we have issues. So assuming Nicholas's point of view, which is that these are at least three separate issues, I agree that we have issues for each one of those three separate issues, right? So what that means is I think that we can make it such that issue 56 is just about dropping the subtree during processing. And that was always the intent, right? We wanted to be able to mix JSON and effectively RDF data in the same JSON document. For example, there might be just a subtree that you're interested in specifying data with, and we didn't want to make the rules very complicated in expressing that. So, for example, if there was a top-level item that had something like data, and within data you had some JSON-LD data, the initial thought was, well, just drop the entire subtree, right? So we wanted to support as much data as possible. We wanted to support as much existing markup as possible, but there came a point where we decided that we didn't think it was a good idea. It made the processing algorithms very complicated if we were going to try and deep dive into the data structures to try and find JSON-LD data. I don't know if that's – now, I guess what we need to find out is if you guys feel that the same thing's true. Like, because one of the things that Marcus outlined on the mailing list was he said, well, why don't we do a deep dive and find all of the JSON-LD data that we can? So, for example, let's say there's nothing at the top level, but very deep in one of those subtrees is a context, and that context specifies, you know, a couple of how to extract a couple of triples out of the data. Should we do that, or should we just completely ignore the subtree and never process down to that level? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, that exactly. And this is where the conflation might have begun, because if I can get my thoughts here, damn, I lost that part. Well, I have another important piece of it, because when I discussed this, I did it from the perspective I have, where I, in my specific use case, have this rev thing, which represent reverse relations, as I mentioned before, and which is basically a magic key, and the value is a JSON object which have what looks like normal terms pointing to resources, but because of the magic key, they represent the inverse of those terms. And if we drop the entire subtree, this is not a problem, because then this magic term will just be bound to null or comment or something like that. And I can put this data in, and the data within that subtree will look exactly like JSON-LD and is JSON-LD generated, but nobody has to care about that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, it's tempting for me to say that I want to keep the subtree and I want to deep dive, because I have data there which is important. But I realize that if I well, give in to this temptation. We have to handle this case where I have a key, which means nothing, and then I have keys in the object, in the value, which doesn't mean anything either. And then I have some stuff. So I have a two-step path down, and only there the things look like normal JSON again, JSON LD again. And that's too complex to handle, so we should just drop that, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that we get into a issue where we start trying to... If we start trying to not ignore the subtree and change it into something that we can process, the processing rules get more complicated without really... And the use case that we gain from that is we can do deep dives on data, but I don't know many people that are going to be expressing their data like that, right? The other thing that Marcus had said on the mailing list is that the spec currently states that terms that are that don't have a mapping are relative IRI, and that is a mistake. That was never our intent. To say anything like that, right? Our intent from the beginning was always, and by R I mean Digital Bazaar's intent from the very beginning was, if it doesn't have a mapping, then you ignore it.
Spec's been updated to say that now.
Okay, great. Nicholas, you're on the queue, and then Marcus.
Yeah, I'm just going to write what Greg said. Yeah, I realized what I was getting at before, because I believe that Ivan suggested that instead of ID with a list which contained objects to represent multiple top-level resources, he suggested the key data. And if we were to deep dive, then that could be done without specifying the data key. If you see what I mean, then the value for that data would be deep dived into, and it would be parsed as JSON LD. I think that's where the things were really becoming confused.
Hold on, I didn't quite get that, Nicholas. Could you restate that, please?
Yes, Yvonne at some point suggested that instead of allowing the form ID and then a list of objects, we should use at data with a list of objects to represent a disjoint graph. And then I think it was suggested that if we allowed to deep dive into unknown terms, which data as of right now is, we don't have to define data, because the data inside the list would be parsed as JSON LD. And as we just discussed, this is too complex, reasonably.
Yeah.
Marcus, go ahead.
Could you explain why do you think it's really that complex? I mean, it's the same as on the top level. You just look for terms that you can convert to IRI. And if you can do that, you can create a triple. And then you've got some triples. If you can't do that, it's the same as the top level. So why do you think diving into that subtree, it's really that complex?
Well, go ahead, Greg. You're on the queue.
Yeah, I guess partly in response there, I think that we need a way to be able to ignore subtrees. And the natural way to do that is to say, for terms that are not mapped, that we ignore, for keys that do not map to IRIs, we ignore the subtree. If we want to allow deep diving, which would be a support for perhaps for different graphs, or at least things that are not directly related, then I think we should create some semantics for doing that, such as a data or graph type key. But that we don't. I think this issue is on what do we do with keys that don't map, and I think we probably we should just propose that that is ignored, and then we create or we reference a different issue that relates to how to do diving into keys that how do we support multiple graphs.
I mean, like what I was trying to say is you could solve it by simply saying I ignore that term, but then I start again with like a clean JSON-LD document. If I can get something out of it, that's fine. Otherwise, I ignore it.
How do I ignore a subtree? First,
well,
not a subtree, that object or those keys. So it's like if I pass another a new object to the JSON-LD parser, so it just recursively start the process again.
But the problem there, to answer your question on why I think there is a problem there, is because it's illustrated by my rev use case. Because I have keys which are definitely terms, but they are intended to be the reverse of those terms. So I don't want that to be misinterpreted,
okay.
Because I have an undefined term, which is rev, and the value uses so the path syntax is like rev part of or something like that, which means that
yeah.
I have the current
problem, yeah.
So I have to drop that as well. And then I could start parsing again, but yeah.
The other issue here is that if we allow deep dives on the data, when you end up compacting or expanding the data, well, specifically when you end up compacting the data structure that you get back could look very, very different than the data structure that you pass in. Right, as far as the tree is concerned, because if we allow deep dives on data, it could end up that you could end up with a number of disjoint graphs. So the compacted data that you get back would be an ID with a whole bunch of objects in it, whereas you might have started off with a fairly simple, you know, representation, a fairly simple, you know, a single object at the top level representation. And I think that would be confusing. It would not only be complicated because when you're compacting, you need to basically rebuild the entire tree, right? It can change dramatically. So the algorithm's more complex, and then the data structure that you give the developer back in the end is completely different from what they passed into the algorithm, and that I think would be confusing to people that don't really care that much about the details of JSON-LD, right? They're basically passing in this object that they feel was simple, and they're getting back something that looks very, very foreign to them. So I think that issue in and of itself is enough for us to say we should absolutely not support deep dives on data for terms that aren't recognized. I don't know if that that's a compelling reason, Marcus, or if you still feel
yeah.
that it's important. Okay.
I think that makes sense. I tend to agree to that now, and
okay.
think it makes more sense to just ignore the subtree.
Okay. So let's go ahead and try a proposal then. It seems like everyone's on board. When processing keys in a JSON-LD document, ignore keys that are not defined in the context.
Just to make it clear before you put up the proposal, what happens if I compact that stuff or if I expand it? Does that mean that it gets dropped or it stays
dropped
just
entirely?
There?
Okay. I think it gets dropped entirely. That's what we've been doing.
Agreed.
And if you expand, it gets dropped entirely.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so when processing keys in JSON-LD document, ignore keys and do not process the subtree for keys that do not have a mapping in the context.
We also need a way to, it needs to be clear that when, that you can definitively say that a key is not mapped, perhaps by mapping it to null in the context, since you might be, you might have a subpart that you've included from a context that you don't have control over.
Right. Yeah, so that may be another issue we should raise, is how to unset mappings when compacting and expanding drop keys that do not have mappings. Okay, so here's a proposal. All right, so that's resolved. Let's see, next issue is issue 52. Anything else on that?
Hold on just a second. I'm just adding another quick proposal.
Sure.
In an active context. That seems to, I think, capture what we discussed as a way to be able to say that a term is not, does not have a mapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's clear.
Does that mean I can also do just null the type coercion part of it? So at type equals null?
No. Okay. So without type equals null, mean that you had just removed the coercion part of it. I think that would be equivalent to just not to defining the term without a coercion at all, but perhaps not.
Yeah. But what I'm asking is, does that proposal imply that we also allow a type coercion to be removed by setting it to null?
I don't think so. I think that's a separate issue, which should say that if terms are redefined, they are not merged with the old definition, but are redefined from scratch.
Yeah,
including their coercion.
Right.
Yes.
Aspects.
Yep.
No,
we should probably have another.
That needs to be made clear.
Yeah.
What I meant is, you don't want to reset the whole key, you just want to reset the type coercion at some point in your document. Is that allowed?
No, that would not be possible.
Wait, hold on. It is possible, isn't it, to reset the... Yeah,
redefining
the term.
Goal, exactly. The same goal can be achieved, but you have to redefine the term.
Right,
there
exactly.
There is no partial redefinition of a term.
Yep.
So something like that would not be allowed.
I don't think so. I think what you just typed in can be achieved by just redefining the term. And I'd rather we go
to
that.
Then you have to set it again, right?
Say that again?
No. That was something stupid. Okay.
I think we have a solution for this already, and I don't want to make the language more complicated by saying even saying that you can do type null, right? Just if you want the type to be null, just redefine the term, and you're done.
I just wanted to ask.
Yep.
Okay, we resolve the previous one, or
let's resolve the previous one. Lane plus one, minus one, plus zero.
Now it's going to be confused as to which one it's for.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. We can just, it's the, scribe tool. We can just move lines around in the scribe tool.
All right.
That's how they feel. Okay, so that's resolved. a term can only be, well, nope, sorry, I got confused.
I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Okay, and now the proposal is the term can only be redefined, never partially reconfigured. It's plus seven.
I can do the resolved if you want
okay.
to.
Okay, yep, go ahead. Okay. Okay, good. I think that those are good decisions, clarifies what we needed to clarify. Anything else before we move on? We have 4 minutes.
can we tackle lists of lists?
Let's get a my gut feeling on lists of lists is no, but let's get a quick overview from Greg to see if this is simple.
I would need to go and revisit the work I had done on attempting to support lists of lists, but it became very complicated. And again, this is more of a processing issue rather than a syntax issue, but if we were trying to actually support that, it got to be very complicated. And since we really have no use cases for it, it seemed like it was the natural thing to do was to just not support lists of lists.
Yeah.
Does anyone have a compelling use case to support lists of lists?
Marcus, you're on the queue.
No, not really.
Oh,
I have a quite related question, I think. Can you,
okay.
like, define a list? Can you give a list an IRI? So can you identify a list by an IRI so that you can reference it from another, in another object, for example?
You could use a list as a subject.
I would, yeah.
But there's no alias mechanism, but you could list a, you could have a list as the value of an ID.
I think I would, would need to specify an ID and then the type to at list, but then I don't know how to set the value.
Well,
like I
yeah.
could have at value.
I don't really know
array.
how to accomplish that. I think you can achieve what you like through chaining by having an object with an ID whose value is a list. Then you can have properties on that on the blank node that is the subject of is the first element of that list, which would be equivalent to a way that you might do that in Turtle. But as with Turtle or other RDF syntaxes, there's no way to define the list. I guess you'd have to resolve to owl same as, and then now we're getting into inference rules that really aren't part of JSON-LD.
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, well, I had almost timed something like Marcus just did. You can use RDF terms to create an RDF list with an ID, and then for the value of that list's rest, first and rest, you switch into the compact syntax for list. That would look terrible, but then again, this structure is kind of complex.
Because I run across that issue, and I think it's quite a reasonable use case to put a long list in a different document, for example, and just reference it from, well, another document.
Yeah, I can certainly see the value in the example you added for that. And I have no use case for it, but I can imagine use cases for it. And
just to be clear, this is another issue. This is
It
was just really related. So I just asked.
Well, it depends, of course, because this kind of syntax, the type at list and the value is is a new combination, isn't it?
If we explicitly, it's not specified currently.
Exactly. If we specify it to be representing an object which is an RDF list, then the value of that could be a similar object. Or the value could be the regular at list and then the list short form. So basically, if we supported this syntax, we could support lists of lists.
The whole discussion is making me a bit uneasy because the complexity to the processing rules is just, I don't know if it's a good trade-off, right? If we had multiple different people saying, I actually have this use case and I need to solve it, instead of us going, well, we think that it might be useful, then I think we should consider it a bit more heavily. But considering the amount of complexity added to the processing rules, at least in my mind, I can't think of a very simple way of accomplishing this. I mean, like the translation RDF becomes more complicated, the compaction and expansion stuff becomes more complicated. It's just and all so we can just kind of point to a list. It's rare, at least in the sets of data that we've been working with, it's rare to care about order, right? But now that we have lists, we can do that. Having lists of lists
let's make a simple use case. So I have one document where I have, like, I describe the albums, the music albums I have, and then I would like to reference the playlist or the content of that album in a different document. So, like, think of a web service. I don't want to put all the playlists in that one document, but I would like to have different resources for those playlists, those lists. Do we have a way to model that currently? That it's not about lists of lists. It's just referencing a list from another document.
This might, I'm wondering if this has to do more with the way that we do the translation to RDF than anything. Because in JSON-LD, you could give the thing an ID basically doing what Nicholas did there and just adding at ID there. So the list would have an ID. I'm not sure about how the RDF for that would end up looking. I have to admit,
well,
I don't
RDF,
have
a... You would reference to the first item and then have that link.
Yeah, if you did sort of what Marcus suggested, where you had, let's say you have an object with an ID that's a node with a type that is the same as RDF list, and it had two properties, a RDF first and RDF next, the RDF next bit could be represented as a list, and the RDF first bit would then be the first value in the list. That would be a way to specify an object with an ID that had a list, and you could give that a named blank node, which would allow you to reference it otherwise. And you could do this in Turtle as well. The problem's going to come, as Manu suggested, in the algorithms, because when I go to, it's only a problem when you do a round trip through RDF, in which case what you're going to get back is a list. You'll lose that. In normalization, the lists are expanded anyway, although there is some verbiage for recompacting that, I believe, in the current algorithm. So there is a way to do it using, if you resort to RDF semantics within JSON-LD, you can define an ID, a named ID that can be referenced in other places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is at least in my mind, the complexity just explodes when we start talking about how we're going to get this. And Greg's right, it's a round trip that's concerning, right? So, and actually normalization is also slightly concerning. Because if you round trip this, if you convert it to RDF and then suck it back into a JSON LD, I'm concerned that you can't actually that reconstructing the thing that you initially had is non-deterministic. I don't know if that's true or not. That's just a
well. The thing is that in that document you wouldn't have the list values. The list values are in a different document. That's the reason for doing that in the first place.
Oh, well, I mean, in that case, it's fairly simple, right? You just refer to the other IRI.
No, then because the lists are always start with nodes, and if you can't have a list start with an IRI, that we would be inventing RDF, you know, semantics. We could have a JSON LD list that allowed lists to be identified by RIs. The only other way to do that is with a same as, in which you're getting into you know, some inference rules.
Yeah. At which point.
So, and you could do that if you could do that today in JSON LD. You would just again define an object with a subject that's a list, and an OWL same as property which relates it to the IRI that you want to alias it at.
Yeah. I feel that we. Yeah, I mean, you could do. I feel putting anything in the spec that allows these types of complex markup to be done is kind of taking JSON LD off the rails, right? I mean, we're trying to do something simple in the fact that we're discussing something that's so complex right now that I think it just it shows that there's an issue here. And Nicholas, sorry, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I agree with that. As I've put out some examples of here, it is possible to express it using RDF semantics and the properties first and rest. So if you really need to, you can do it. Any kind of syntactic shorthand for list depends on that list only being described with, only having as predicates RDF first and RDF rest, and the type being RDF list.
Possibly.
And possibly. If you that's inferred by RDF semantics, but. It's allowed to have that. And in serializers for RDF, which formats have a shorthand for lists, regularly stop using that shorthand if the list is described with other properties or if the list is not a chain of B nodes, i.e. the first part of the chain has an IRI, then the whole shorthand breaks down. And similarly, we can use the gruesome and verbose version of that expression in JSON LD without any changes. So I agree, we shouldn't try to create special support for that because that's really tricky to do. And we can leave a note that expressions like that is just not supported. To clarify.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicholas did say something that's pretty interesting. We're over our time, by the way, so we should probably wrap this up. Nicholas did raise something that's pretty interesting, which is the list of lists. Right, so that's, I mean, that's technically a list of lists.
Yeah.
Greg, you're saying that the conversion rules, the RDF conversion rules for that are fairly complex?
They were, at the time, and this is to the best of my recollection, it became unreasonable at this point to try to manage that, mostly when it came to I think compaction and expansion types of rules is where I got hung up. And I just said, let's not do it.
Okay.
Note that you cannot do this in RDFA either. RDFA
nope.
does not support lists of lists.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, At a high level, I really think that we should stay away from this type of complexity, even if we do have a fairly useful use case. I feel that it's just it just makes things too complicated. Okay, but let's not resolve anything on it today, just because we need to have a better understanding of the complexity, I think, before we make a decision on it. Okay, Marcus, you're going for the next week and the week after, is that right?
Most likely, I'm not able to attend the calls the next two weeks.
Okay. Would you have access to email?
If I can't, well, not regularly, so just like once or twice a week.
Okay. So maybe we should really sit down and. All of us should try and get through as many of the, start commenting on as many of the open issues as possible. First in the issue tracker, and if you feel like you have a proposal for a solution for one of the issues, say something on the mailing list. So what we're going to try, and the whole purpose of doing that is to try and close as many of these issues as possible, or try and make it so that when we get on the call. We have a very clear proposal on the table. All right. So if all of us can try and do that as much as possible over the next week or 2 weeks, let's do that. And we'll go ahead and meet next week and the week after, and not have a super session. We'll try and do the vast majority of the work on the mailing list and in the issue tracker, and see how much progress we make. Any other comments on that? Before we go?
No, that sounds good. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm a bit tired as well right now. Do we ever use the definition of QRIs from RDFA?
No. And on purpose.
Right.
I think, Greg, you picked new language, Greg.
Yeah, we call it a compact IRI.
Okay.
Yeah.
But because, I wonder if we should adopt for this the same restriction as we did in RDFA for the double slash.
Oh, yeah, I think we may end up doing that. I think we may end up doing that unless we think that it's an unnecessary restriction in JSON-LD.
We sort of resolve that is by iterating in the context when expanding IRIs to deal with possibly a definition of something that looked like a scheme as a query, and you keep doing that until it gets resolved. That's how we dealt with that.
Yeah, but I wonder if the same risk appears here. The data is much more controlled because that was basically a safety mechanism. But I don't see anything bad coming from it here. People might screw things up here as well.
My preference is to not limit it. I think the case in RDFA was slightly different in that we limited it because there was a fairly good chance that somebody would stick something in. Or rather, there was a non-zero chance that somebody would do that. In JSON-LD, I feel that there's a much, much less of a chance that someone's going to end up doing that. But hunch may be wrong.
My hunch is the opposite, because here we don't even separate the term definitions from the prefix definitions. Mm-hmm. So we have much more potential risk. There will be much more items to scan, which should not be any kind of IRI scheme.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point. We should visit or revisit that issue at some point. All right. Anything else before we adjourn? All right, great. Thanks for the wonderful call, guys, and have a great week, and we'll have another call next Tuesday.
You too. Thank you too.
All right, take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.